Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
Today is National Cheeseburger Day. We want to thank Ted's Montana Grill for feeding the crew. Absolutely delicious. Thank you, Ted's. The Bacon Bison Burger. Apparently I said bison earlier. Bison. Thank you. Big Sexy had the 1977 America's Cup Bison. Bison. Sorry, jeez. Big Sexy is also out on social media promoting ice cream today.
Oreo waffle cones, man.
What are you doing?
They're delicious.
Why?
If you haven't had a Oreo...
Are you getting paid?
No,
or
are you kidding me?
You're just throwing out...
Have you had an Oreo waffle cone?
I have not, no.
Okay, you need to go to Sonic and get one of those.
You woke up this morning or just like, I gotta get on this.
The world know about this stuff, man.
Was that it? Is that the only motivation you
Pretty
had?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Hey.
Well, what happens if you're lactose intolerant?
Then you're not gonna like it.
Kyle had the green and hot beef.
I may like it, but she won't.
Janelle had the St. Phillips Island crab cakes. Is that a fart joke?
Yes.
Okay, I got it.
Something smells wrong in here.
I'm looking up on TV, and Mike Tomlin is he's explaining the meltdown that's happening in Pittsburgh right now. There's Antonio Brown screaming at everybody. Didn't show up for work yesterday. He's a piece of work. He's a fun guy. Antonio Brown, great receiver, fun guy.
Well, I tell you what, man, you know, you always talk about what is... You know, we got to just go with the guys that are here on our team. And it's almost a slap in the face to not recognize that you have one of the greatest running backs who have ever played in the NFL and a guy who's certainly trending towards a Hall of Fame, not on your team because of a contract dispute. So, you know, you depended on the guy to show up, take the little money. $15 million, I think
just
it is.
Just a little paycheck.
Take the little money and just go on about your business. Well, when it didn't happen, man, it set off some huge, huge sirens in Pittsburgh. And you know, a lot of people have stepped in and talked about what should have been done. You know, and a lot of those people believe that, you know, Le'Veon Bell, who is not under contract. I need to make sure everybody out there who is siding with the Steelers understand that Le'Veon Bell is not under contract. He is not holding out. He does not have a contract. If he decides to play football this year, it's because he has decided to play for the franchise tag that's been designated on him. But right now he does not have a contract. And since that's the case, he's been spotted on a jet ski in Miami. So you read way too much into it. You read way too much into it about not having this guy around the team. And I think it's starting to be frustrating to Antonio Brown, who missed practice yesterday.
Oh, man, if I'm one of Bell's teammates and I see him on jet skis and rapping at album release parties... I mean, it's one thing to not rip on a guy because of money, you know, it's none of my business, but that's an interesting look right there.
Well, I mean, what?
It's an interesting look.
The Steelers, you know, and I had Chad was on a couple of days last week when you were out, and he was like, no matter what, the Steelers are not going to back down. They are a very principled organization. They have a number. And the number that they gave him is the only number they're going to offer him. It's the only number that they can offer him now. So the facts are he's not under contract. And even if the Steelers wanted to extend him to give him a mega deal, they can't because of the contract designation as a franchise player.
Hey, I'm all for it. Meltdown. We play the Steelers on November 25th and keep it rolling, Pittsburgh. That'd be great. That'd be wonderful.
By the way, if I was Le'Veon Bell and I had those offensive linemen talking trash about me,
yeah,
and not being in in training camp mm-hmm. or ready for the first week of football, I take my sweet, precious time about getting there.
It doesn't appear to be in any kind of rush. He's having a good time jet skiing and rapping on stage. Looks fun.
He needs to make an extra $880,000 per week.
Well, maybe his song's really good. I don't know.
That's where he'll go. He'll go to the Steelers, but I don't think that's his major concern. He's after guaranteed money, and I would be too if I was in this situation. No, the NFL and the Players Association, by the way, the NFL and the Players Association may have multiple TO situations coming down the line. Former NFL players that are Hall of Famers say that they will not be at the Hall of Fame.
Saw that.
D-Mac, did you hear also that the Hall of Fame is building a brand new, along with the NFL, a brand new $1 billion project in Canton, Ohio?
What a waste of money.
I mean, did you hear that?
I did not hear that. What is it?
One
like a new
billion
hall?
Dollar. Yes, a $1 billion.
Like a new physical hall.
A new exhibit in Canton, Ohio. $1 billion.
Okay.
See, I think the NFL is in trouble because I think what they have done is that they haven't done enough by their players. And I'm going to give you an example. And I'm going to use the NBA. The NBA has done a great job of highlighting and keeping their greatest players always in front of you. And their players are the product. But in the NFL, the shield is the product, and you just do everything to protect the shield. And you don't see the game's greatest continually promoted by the NFL the way that you do in other sports. And so I think there's going to be an issue here because if you don't have Hall of Famers not showing up to the Hall of Fame after they built a $1 billion facility, it's going to look...
It's a bad look, isn't it?
It's going to look bad. So the players are asking for health insurance and a salary that are part of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So that's the latest news there.
Let's go to Micah. Micah, you're on the Fan. What's going on, Micah?
Hey, what's going on?
Maybe, by the way, with that $1 billion, we'll throw in a couple of hotels that people can actually stay at.
I think that's probably going to be part of
it. Oh, okay.
Too.
Hi, Micah.
Just a couple quick questions for you guys. Number one, do you think the Broncos, whatever you guys predicted for the Broncos record at the end of the season, has it changed after seeing these couple of games? And then number two,
do you guys
feel like the NFL looks any different with these new rule changes, or does it still feel like the same NFL to you guys?
Thank you for the phone call. I'll start with your last question first. Does the NFL look any different? Absolutely. Absolutely. The unnecessary roughness penalties on the quarterback has absolutely changed the game. And it's one deal to call a penalty on a guy who targets below the knee or right at the knee line for quarterbacks who are stepping into throws. I get it. You know, as a former defensive lineman, I was taught to hit and roll into the quarterback because he won't step into his pass. Okay, it's a little dirty, but it was taught. Okay, I get that. That's gone. But this new rule about driving quarterbacks in the ground is left to the umpires, or should I say the referees' interpretation, because Clay Matthews had a hit on Kirk Cousins last weekend that it didn't look like it was a vicious hit. It just looked like a regular football hit, and it was called rough and unsportsmanlike conduct, driving a quarterback into the ground. At the time, I said, you know, Clay Matthews has done it again. But then I thought, you know what, this looks totally different. If you are going to tackle a quarterback to the ground, how you get him to the ground is almost a gentle handshake on the way down to the ground. Well, some quarterbacks that are bigger than defensive linemen, in particular Ben Roethlisberger and Cam Newton. How you getting those guys to the ground if you don't use your entire force to get them down? That's made football look different to me. And that's the only part that I think, because they really aren't calling the helmet rule. I thought they were going to call the helmet rule, but they're not going to call the helmet rule. I think in week one, there was only one call. I haven't got the stats from last weekend, but I know in the first week of football, there was only one call. I don't know how many happened last weekend, but it's not that big of a deal.
Well, Mike Pierre and Dean Blandino, both rules guys, not rules guys anymore, worked for Fox Sports. They're both, you know, about the Clay Matthews hits that it was ridiculous. And I bet you anything you really don't see that called like that again the rest of the year. So, yes, that looks weird. And it was
that looks weird.
Over-officious, probably. But if it only happened a couple times and it happened early in the season, I don't think it changes the nature of the NFL. It just happened a couple times early in the season. So I don't really have a problem with these rule changes yet. I don't think it's changed things all that much. It had an impact on that game. I'll give you that. It definitely had an impact on that game.
Well, there was also a play in the Steelers contest against the Vikings versus the Green Bay Packers where a safety, and if this was a contest that was 6 or 7 years ago, a safety, I think it was Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, had a definite shot on the receiver. I think it was Diggs, and he didn't take the shot. He tried to go for the ball, but I think he felt like he was going to hit his teammate, so he was in the middle, and the ball got through this incredibly small space. But in years past, that guy would have been hit.
Okay, well, I say that's a positive then. I think that's a positive
thing. Play the ball,
thing.
Huh? Play the ball?
Listen,
down the field, play the ball.
I'm sitting there, and I'm really enjoying being at the View House with Mike Evans on Broncos game day, home games. And we're sitting there, and it's great to watch all the games. And Mike and I are, as we're doing the pregame show, are commenting on the games that are happening. We're thoroughly entertained. Like, when we're looking around, we're seeing like 8 games. They're all, for the most part, kind of interesting or relatively close, going to overtime or right down to the last minute. A couple of games were blowouts, but the vast majority of the NFL action was great.
Right.
In a Broncos game, I mean, you know, say whatever you want about the quality of football. Can't say it wasn't exciting or entertaining, and so was the Broncos' first game. So I'm absolutely entertained by NFL so far. I mean, I thought last night was, you know, kind of...
It was entertaining ESPN ratings are down the first 2 weeks.
Oh, I don't care about the ratings stuff. The ratings stuff is, you know, you can look at that a million different ways.
Yeah, I guess we need to stop talking about the ratings because...
Well,
the ratings,
as soon as we establish the influence of Netflix, you can talk to me about the influence of ratings.
Right.
As long as I find 80,000, 75,000 people showing up for the games... You know, I'm going to say we're doing okay.
Yeah.
I don't really care about the ratings
stuff.
Right,
because I think we've learned to consume football a little differently
now. We're consuming media differently.
Period.
Every 6 months is totally different in how we consume media. So don't talk to me about ratings. Ratings are very relative.
That's old school.
To me it is, because I understand the shift that's happening in media right now.
Okay. And as far as the records go, I had the Broncos going 10-6, 11-5.
So the question is, do you feel the same after the first couple games?
And I do. I feel better. But it still doesn't change the fact that to get over 11 wins in this league, you got to be almost great.
You think the Broncos are a playoff team?
I think that they are.
I'm
6 and 11 and 5.
I'm undecided.
And you us. You know, this gives
I don't think that, you know, let me back up.
Hold on. You said 6 and 10, 7 and 9.
I'll stick to that.
Okay.
A bit closer to 7-9 than 6-10. And
well,
it wouldn't surprise me if they turn out to be 8-8. You know, they haven't had back-to-back losing seasons since like 1973.
10-6, man.
It just seems hard for me to believe that this organization, the way they
That's
do things,
we are.
Would have two losing seasons in a row below 500. So I'll stick with that. Now, I'll reserve the right to amend that opinion if they can beat Kansas City in 2 weeks on Monday night. If they can beat Kansas City,
it's gonna be big, man. Kansas City's loaded,
and if they can go, if they're 3-1, and that third win is against Kansas City at home on Monday night, then lock me in for 10-6.
What happens if when we win against the Ravens? What happens?
That would be amazing. That would be such a huge upset. I would be overjoyed. But it would be probably the biggest upset of the entire year.
Ravens are good. But
give me another team that has more reason to be favored against the Broncos than Baltimore this weekend.
You mean that's on the calendar? On the schedule.
Yeah, who's a tougher game on the road than Baltimore this weekend on the schedule?
For all NFL teams?
At the Jets? No, for the Broncos. At the Jets? No. Baltimore's a tougher battle than that.
Right.
At Arizona? Are you kidding me?
No.
They're a train wreck.
We need to make sure that Mike McCoy stays the offensive coordinator.
It's still
going to
be a tough game for a Broncos because it's a short week.
It doesn't matter. As long as Mike McCoy is there, we got a shot.
At Kansas City. At Kansas City may be tougher than Baltimore. Maybe.
Is that a night game, too?
It is a afternoon game.
11 a.m.?
At the Chargers.
11 a.m.?
Yeah.
That's the toughest game. That's the toughest game.
That may be the toughest game. At the Chargers.
No.
No? At Cincinnati. Tougher than Baltimore.
No.
At San Francisco.
No.
And certainly not at Oakland. You know, you're right. Kansas City's probably the toughest road game. But Baltimore's probably number two. And I'd say, I'd always like to think we have a shot against Kansas City because we're division rivals. And
but we don't know this guy.
The trip to Baltimore is just quirky.
No, I think I think going to Baltimore is
different
now.
See, I think it's the second hardest road game.
Yeah, I think going to Baltimore is different now.
But you still think it's the second hardest road game?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think the Broncos need to do on the road this year to have a successful season?
Well, we got to keep it balanced.
4-4?
No, I'm just saying we have to keep it balanced.
Record-wise, what would you like to see?
I'd like to see us undefeated. Don't ask me a dumb question because I'm always going to tell you, you know, if you ask me about the Broncos, you know, I'd like for us to be undefeated and win every game.
What's a realistic road record for the Broncos this year? Where would you be? You walk away. You said they were going to be 11-5, Al. So you have five.
I said 10-6, 11-5.
Five losses.
Right.
Or you have six losses. What do you want to pick? 5 or 6?
4-4.
4-4.
Yeah.
Okay, great. I'll agree with you. You go 500 on the road. You go 6-2 at home. You're in the playoffs for the most part. Do a little bit better. You're doing a little bit better. What are the four losses on the road this year for the Broncos?
I don't know. I don't want to say that we're going to lose any
what
of
are the
them.
Four the, most, four what are the four games if they lost
Cincinnati,
them?
Cincinnati.
If they lost them, you'd be more or less okay with.
Cincinnati, Baltimore.
Right.
The Chiefs and the Chargers.
Okay. I agree with you. So that's what it sets up.
It's I don't even a, have a calendar in front of me, but I know those are the four.
It's a tough game. It's if they lose this, that win over Oakland was so important.
It was big.
Huge.
It was really big.
Mike Evans loves to use the word must win. I just hate the whole term of must because I take it so literally. What I think Mike really means, it's an important win. It's like you can't really go to the playoffs without it. And if you want to call that a must win,
it's also
fine.
A confidence builder. So I think,
but I'm going to say,
those
two
games, important win.
You, I'll give you this. You had to win those two home games.
You know what? I was thinking
I'll give you that.
I was thinking about one guy today, you know, when I woke up and I started doing game review, you know, because I'd like to go back to see who we were in the first game, too. And as the second game is completed, I'd like to see who we were in the second game. So I watched the first game and then I watched the second game this week because that's who we are on tape. And then I realized something. There is a guy right now who's happy to be done with this part of the schedule. This kid, Ifedi, the right tackle for the Seattle Seahawks, saw Von Miller in week one and saw Khalil Mack in week two. Tell me, that's what every offensive tackle in the AFC West, that's what they were dealing with. Can you imagine every week going through the gauntlet?
Oh, I think
like
it's much better when you face Kansas City or San Diego.
No, but,
my
but,
Lord.
But I mean, Justin Houston is not the same guy. But I'm just saying, but Ingram and Bosa's out. Bosa's out. You can help against Ingram, but you can get, can you imagine every, this tackle from Seattle saw Von Miller in 1 week and Khalil Mack in the next week. How unlucky is he?
Seattle, they're, I mean, what did you think of Seattle last night?
Oh, my goodness. Schottenheimer is a terrible offensive coordinator. They're going to win 5 or 6 games this year.
Right.
They shouldn't have never got rid of Daryl Bevel. But
how many games are the Raiders going to win this year?
I think the Raiders will win 7 or 8. I think they're 7 or 8. But the offensive coordination there is a lot better than it is in Seattle. Brian Schottenheimer is awful right now.
If the Broncos can beat Baltimore at Baltimore, man, I will tip my cap. That will be a hell of a win. If they can pull this off at Baltimore, where Baltimore's had a lot of rest because they had that Thursday night game. They got a home game. If they can pull this off against Baltimore,
Hey, remember now.
If they can pull this off against Baltimore, maybe something really special is going to happen this
remember
year.
Remember now, in the first half of the game,
I'll give you that.
The last game we saw against the Baltimore Ravens, don't forget, A.J. Green went out for 3 touchdowns in the first half. Okay?
So get the ball to Demaryius Thomas more?
Get the ball to Emmanuel Sanders more.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, get the ball to Emmanuel Sanders.
Because A.J. Green's not their slot receiver.
Well, I mean, A.J. Green plays everywhere. Slot, outside, slot right, slot, you know, left, outside left. I mean, they get him the football.
They got to get Emmanuel the ball more.
Listen,
and you know what? Mix in Deshaun Hamilton.
This is the week where you're going to have to help out your offensive line because Terrell Suggs is a physical player, and over the course of 60, 65 snaps, you get tired of the guy running into you every play. So you got to take care of T-Sizzle and consider throwing the ball on first down this week. This is the week to throw the ball on first down against his Ravens team, but keep your run balance. There are not a lot of great players on the Baltimore Ravens on the defensive side anymore. That's done. They have one. Okay. Terrell Suggs is it. So if you want to be dominant, you want to, run the football, you can do it this week. You want to throw the football, you can do it this week. You just got to stop them on offense because that offense of theirs is the real deal.
You know, it's funny as, These past two games have been so big. They've really, really been important. This just isn't one of them. If this would be awesome if they could win, but I'm not going to think, I don't care what the final score is or what happens. I'm not going to think any less of the Broncos no matter what happens on Sunday. No, I'm zero. They could lose by 40 and I'd be like, eh, it's okay. Let's talk about Kansas City. You know, that's the game.
But D-Mac, it's a little different,
so
man.
It's a little different when your
number one cornerback is out. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, this is going to be an air raid.
Okay.
Case Keenum should throw for almost 400 yards.
Well, I would encourage Case to light it up then.
Light it up. Use your running backs in the passing game.
Take chances. It doesn't matter.
It's going to be great.
Have some fun.
It should be fun.
Yeah, this should be a fun game.
Yeah, this should be fun because
and if it doesn't
you know
work
going
out,
into
who
this
cares?
Game, you're going to have to outscore the Baltimore Ravens. And I'm not talking about a 23-24 game.
So I'll give you something. I'm not going to hang up Case Keenum on interceptions in this game. I'm not going to care. You know, he's got to, you know, get the ball going. Get into some sort of rhythm. He throws 2 or 3 picks. Oh, well. Price of doing business.
But the clear path to beating
You know what this game is? This game is an excellent, 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 excellent preseason type of game. You can do things in this game that you might not do the rest of the season. Go for it. What do you got to lose?
But it'd be so good putting them in the hole at 1-2 giving us 3-0.
It'd be great.
Every time you can eliminate somebody or that could possibly be your playoff competition at the end of the year, it's always better to have a win over them. Because I look at the Ravens like they'll be there at the end of the year. So, and I'm looking at the Steelers like they may not be, but the Bengals will be. And we have to play those two teams.
Oh, the Bengal game shapes up to be a much different story.
Oh, the Bengal game is, Lewis have those guys playing well.
That's with 5 games left in the season, in December, on the road. That'll be crunch time. This isn't it. This should be a fun game. They should go for it. Have a good time.
Except the challenge.
And nobody should get that hung up about it one way or the other.
Well, one thing I want to know is who's willing to accept the challenge, man? And I need better attention to detail,
you know what they really
Case Keenum, and I need better attention to detail from Demaryius Thomas.
So how about this? Well said, right? And everybody is trashing Demaryius Thomas, right?
Need better attention to detail.
You know what they really need to do? You know what you really need to do, especially in this game? You need to go to Demaryius Thomas. You need to build him back up. You need to make him feel as an important part of the team. You don't need to shelve him or push him to the shot side.
You wouldn't dare think about doing that.
Let's build DT back up.
But that's okay. You can have 7 passes to build him up. But
sure.
You know what?
But go to him.
But if you're going to go to somebody, you better have 8 passes to the Emmanuel Sanders.
I've got no problems with that whatsoever. I mean,
he is clearly demonstrated the best wide receiver on this team.
So
clearly.
Nobody's even arguing that. So on the other side. Why didn't they go to Emmanuel Sanders even more? Details next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies. Number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Buffalo soldier, dressed like a rasta. It was a Buffalo soldier.
What's that?
In the heart of America.
See, you know, I didn't know anything about reggae until I got to the University of Colorado. Is that hard to believe?
No. I guess not.
I mean, I listen to a lot of R&B and soul and pop music, but never reggae until I got to school in Boulder.
I don't remember a lot of reggae on MTV, so, because you and
what
I
about,
are same
what about
age.
In Syracuse? Was there a lot?
Well, I grew up in Boston.
I'm just saying, but in school, for school.
In fact, lots of reggae, you know, right? What I got into was like a band like Fishbone, which is like ska reggae, like more faster paced,
right,
sort of thing. I got into that in college.
Not in high school, quiz. Certainly not in high school.
No, when I was in high school, it was all about punk rock. Friends, yeah. Punk rock was a big deal.
But we're from the MTV generation.
I know, it was Boston. We were more of a rock. I loved MTV. But, you know,
name one show on MTV.
Name one show?
On MTV right now.
Oh, I could too. I'm 16 and pregnant again. Not I'm 16 and pregnant. I'm 16 and pregnant again. It follows. I'm 16 and pregnant.
All right, bro.
I think I'm
now.
I got that. I teased something going into the break, Big Sexy. What do I talk about?
Demaryius Thomas.
What about him though? I said something super clever.
How do we get the ball? Why did they throw the ball?
Why didn't they throw the ball more to Emmanuel Sanders? Well, I mean, what was going on schematically that he wasn't more of a target?
Here's what I can tell from the play call, okay? They always had over-the-top coverage on Demaryius Thomas. On Emmanuel Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
So he wouldn't, he just wouldn't run past people.
Okay.
But on DT, man, it was just, I just couldn't figure out, he was open.
Well, let me ask you a technical question.
He was open.
Are Emmanuel Sanders' routes more often than not a little bit deeper than Demaryius Thomas's?
No, I just think that it's game plan directed. So if they need something, or they see something. By the way, the game planning has been awesome on the offensive side. Case Keenum has missed a few reads that guaranteed that he won't miss later down the line.
Sanders had zero targets in the first half.
Right.
Now, that's got to be on game planning, too.
But hold on,
how do you go through an entire first half? There were like 4-3 and outs.
Hold on.
But how do you not just dial up a play in 12 plays to Emmanuel Sanders?
Here's what you got to know on those plays. We were like a half a yard short or 1 yard short on third downs to being first downs. If you don't get first downs in the NFL, if you don't get third down completions and third down conversions, then you don't get to have a great day offensively. Like you could take away everything else that happened and look at the third down conversions in the second half and look at them in the first half. Because once the third down conversions are done in the first half, you got to punt the ball.
There were 35 throws. That's a good average amount of throws, right?
You will probably see
35 throws every game. That's pretty balanced, right?
Yep.
Okay.
30 to 35.
So let's just say, well, what do you want to pick? 30 or 35? I'll pick 35. I just need a round
number. 35. 35 passes, 30 runs.
You got 35 passes, 30 runs. You're probably having a good day, right?
You're in the game.
Okay. 35 passes. How many targets of those 35 should be going to Emmanuel Sanders?
I think it should be somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 to 11.
At least 8, right?
8 to 11.
Let's start at 8. So 25% of your passes need to be going to Emmanuel Sanders, correct?
He should be primary.
Right.
He's your primary guy now.
No matter what. No matter what.
He's your primary guy. I mean, so, he is balling out. I
so
mean,
in the first 15 plays, hold on, for two years, I've been saying the same thing. In the first 15 scripted plays, if you're doing something like that, how are at least not two or three of those passes directed to Emmanuel Sanders?
Because I think they want to get Demaryius going early.
Why?
Because that's who he is. You know, I played with Jerry Rice, man. You know, when I played with Jerry Rice, in the first, you know, first 15 scripted, Jerry Rice had the football by play two. It's either play one or play two.
Well, why in the world is that not the case with Emmanuel Sanders?
Because I think they looked at Emmanuel Sanders like he was the number two receiver, and they looked at Demaryius Thomas like he was Jerry Rice.
You know who will agree with me in my argument right here? Emmanuel Sanders. Rightfully so. First down, Freeman, left tackle. All right. Lindsey, left guard. And nowhere. Pass incomplete to Courtland Sutton. That's your first series. All right. So one pass. Not to Emmanuel.
Not to DT either.
Pass incomplete to Royce Freeman. Hand off to Royce Freeman. Pass to Jake Butt. Punt. Now there are six plays and not one of them to Emmanuel Sanders.
Right.
Here we go. Play number seven. Third three and out. Run. Philip Lindsay. Incomplete to Demaryius Thomas. Pass to Jake Butt. Short. If I'm Emmanuel Sanders at this point, you think Antonio Brown's got a beef. Here's nine passes, and somehow I haven't gotten the ball even thrown at me, and we're three and outs. So he goes through the entire, you know, I got to look at the second half, because I know he had no targets in the first half. How long did it take him to get, look at this, Alfred.
But hold on, before.
Look at this. No targets in the first half. They go into halftime. And you know what? I can't even blame Sanders if he goes up and goes, guys, what's going on? First play of the third quarter, pass deep to Emmanuel Sanders for 21 yards. Hold on.
It really wasn't the first play. It was the second play. Because then we get, that's another drive. You're right.
So they realized they made a mistake, because they did make a mistake. And if you want Case Keenum to get going, get the ball to Emmanuel Sanders. And so they made an adjustment at halftime. So if you want to look at all of the intricacies of that game, you could say we had a philosophical offensive shift, thank goodness, get the ball to Emmanuel Sanders. And they did it on the first play. Now, I would advocate, Alfred, no matter what for the rest of the year, within the first six pass plays, no matter what, throw at least one pass to Emmanuel Sanders.
Okay, I like that.
Can you go with me on that?
But here's what I want to say, okay? On that drive that we scored that opening touchdown, you know how many third downs we converted?
Well, I can cheat.
I'm going to tell you, we converted none.
No, we converted two.
We converted none.
Oh, wait, we had a penalty.
We had a penalty.
And we had a touchdown.
Remember, right. The unsportsmanlike penalty was for 5 yards because DT was a yard short.
Can you believe how stupid the Raiders can? They just, man. By the way, I heard Mike Evans do this on Monday, and he did a great job of it. He just went through all the dumb plays the Raiders made. It was really funny. So I'll give Mike credit on that for sure, because it was hysterical. And there you go right there.
But, you know.
They got it stopped, right? Keenum, short pass to Demaryius Thomas for 6 yards on 3rd and 7. Play is over, right? And DT got hurt on that play. Oh, no, flag. Bruce Irvin, unsportsmanlike conduct.
And here's also...
2 plays later, touchdown.
And also, when you look at those huge disappointing moments in the second half where something bad didn't, you know, something bad happened to our offense, like... 2nd and 9 from the 26, Case Keenum pass deep left to Courtland Sutton. Remember that one over the shoulder?
Of course.
I mean, it was a big play. And it was, It was challenged and called no good, and we reversed. Third nine, guess what? We need it, Emmanuel Sanders.
I got to tell you this. You need to make a decision about Demaryius Thomas. Either you try to pump him back up, get him involved, and get him the ball, just like you have been. And if you don't feel confident in doing that, if you don't want to do that, then it's time to move on to Courtland Sutton.
Here you go.
And make DT more of a role player on this team.
Second and three from the Oakland 47. Case Keenum passed incomplete short right to Demaryius Thomas. The next play, Case Keenum deep right to Emmanuel Sanders for 23.
Well, what you're saying is if you need to get at least 8 targets out of 35 to Emmanuel Sanders, every one out of every 4 times you throw the ball, it's got to be to Emmanuel Sanders.
I was just highlighting how when things went wrong, Emmanuel Sanders saved the day.
Then let's go. Let's not have to save the day. Let's own the day. Big mistake in the first half. They straightened it out in the second half. Thank goodness. Probably not even enough. And at the end of the day, a young guy, Tim Patrick, made a huge catch and made a great move I went back and watched it on tape. It's pretty obvious that Sanders was screaming at him to get out of bounds. Watch the play again. Sanders actually set up kind of a pseudo little block. And he is waving his hand, and I'm going to assume because...
Look at the DB. The DB start breaking out right. Start breaking out right because that's where the sideline is.
I'm pretty sure when I looked at it again, there was some on-the-field loud coaching from Sanders going towards Patrick. Hats off! Emmanuel Sanders had a great day. No doubt about it. Just letting that sink in. This is The Drive on The Fan.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents... The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
Tonight, Kyle Freeland. We are all Freelanders. Takes on Clayton Kershaw. One of the biggest games of the year for the Colorado Rockies. And you gotta get fired up for it. Your starting lineup for the Colorado Rockies. Leading off and playing center field, Charlie Blackman.
Yeah, hold on. It's Charlie Blackman. Charlie Blackman!
Batting second and playing second base from Louisiana State University, DJ LeMahieu. Batting third and playing third base, Nolan Arenado.
Yeah!
Hitting fourth, feedback. You know, I don't have it posted up here. I don't know if I can do it off the top of my head. No, I got it right here. Of course I can do it. Batting fourth, from parts unknown, Matt Holliday. I don't care where he's from. I said parts unknown. Batting fifth.
Or Stillwater.
From the cover of GQ, or perhaps if you're lucky, the centerfold of Playgirl. Ian Desmond. Batting sixth and playing right field, not Carlos Gonzalez, Gerardo Parra. Batting seventh and built like a refrigerator, Chris Iannetta. And batting eighth, playing shortstop. You remember him from his big rock band when he was a kid, Hampson.
I actually don't even know Hampson's first name. What is Hampson? What's his first name?
His name is Garrett.
Garrett Hampson.
And pitching for your Colorado Rockies.
Oh.
Stunt like you ain't been drunk. Homie got the pain, got an infrared.
From Thomas Jefferson High School.
King go to underground. Came with a girl.
Go!
Only count down when the Uber downstairs. Shooting at the club now, everybody's scared. If you get money, then you throw it.
Oh,
in
man.
Woof. I gave myself the chills.
What do you think those are for me?
That is his song. What is the name
that's
of that?
That's his walk-up song.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. Freeland. That's your son's walk-up song. I'd love to see, like, Riding the Storm out by REO Speedwagon, too, but whatever.
Oh, man.
What happens tonight, Al?
Well, I think we get him, man. I think we get him. I just think that this road trip has not been what I was calling for. I mean, certainly not that trip out to San Francisco. I mean, that was a heartbreak. We know that John Gray runs hot and cold, and then last night, you know, and I mean, they would try to match. And the Dodgers did this, by the way. They did this about a week ago to match up Kyle Freeland with Kershaw. So that you know what's going on outside of Colorado, everybody considers this guy pretty much the ace on our staff, and I think that everybody around here would consider him our ace. They wanted their best to go against our best. So they set their lineup over a week ago to make sure that this series would work like it is now. We didn't expect John Gray to have a terrible third inning. Oh, my goodness, man. Just terrible. Just awful. And then finish it up in the
Kershaw's
fifth.
Kershaw's only pitched against the Rockies one time this year? Is that
hey,
right?
Listen, they set this lineup, D-Mac. They set this lineup over a week ago. It was over 8 days ago where we were going to see Kershaw against Freeland.
Okay.
They want action, baby.
I'm looking at the stats here, and I only see him pitching against... Oh, home versus Colorado. Okay. So he pitched one time.
Pitched one time against Colorado this season.
Period. Okay. So he threw for six innings. He gave up six hits, two runs, both earned, one walk, seven strikeouts. Pretty good outing.
And that was only 11 days ago.
So I haven't seen him a lot this year, huh? Obviously. Let's see if we got Freeland, what he did. Do we have? I'll find it. I got it. Google machine is just unbelievable. How's Freeland done
on his last
against
outing?
The Dodgers? Yeah. You know, I'm sure there's a quicker way to do this, but I'm slow.
Okay, last time.
I was about to get to it.
Okay,
I got it.
Okay, go ahead.
Kyle's pitched a lot against L.A. 19 innings and a third, actually.
Three times.
16 hits. Six runs, six earned, seven walks, 21 strikeouts. So only, you know, two runs a game. So you could say that this will be a pretty even Steven deal here. Has he pitched in L.A. against the Dodgers this year, Big Sexy?
Not that I'm seeing. Oh, yes, he did. May 23rd, they lost that game 5-4.
Okay, how do you do?
6 1/3, six hits, three earned runs, three walks, three strikeouts.
Hey,
I'll
take that tonight. I'll take that tonight. You got to get off your butts and get on the bats and bring home a win, you know, the best you can. You win one of these next two, you win two out of three in Arizona, we're good. We're all good, Al, if that happens.
I just want us to come back here with a half-game lead. That's all I'm asking for on this road trip is a half-game lead. And then we go from there. Let the rest of the division beat up on each other and D-Mac, I'll be happy. And for my partner, D-Mac, who will be watching that game tonight, like I will, like you will, and of course Big Sexy, who is tweeting about it, and Kyle Berry, who is rolling with it, I'm Big Al. Let's go, Rockies. Let's get that dub.